welcome to episode 36 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. That's right, where the cut comes later today. We're going to see if Jeff is allowed to stay on the show.
Nice. I can take the heat.
You can take the heat. Well, Darren Clark and Lee Westwood going to be on the European team. This is our first story in off the tee. Ryder Cup captain Ian Woosnam selecting Lee Westwood and Darren Clark to play on the Ryder Cup team, bypassing players like Thomas Bjorn and Ian Poulter, notably, among those not chosen. Your thoughts on Europe's team?
Well, I think Europe's obviously going to field a really solid team. They've got some great players. Donald, Garcia, Harrington, Howell. I feel really solid, pretty good about those guys. Montgomery, of course, is a go-to guy. Ola Thobel. Those are some pretty big names and some guys who've had a lot of success in match play and at the Ryder Cup. So I think they fielded a pretty good team. I think Darren Clark's a pretty sensible pick. I mean, the only question is...
Is he going to be on his game, though?
Yeah.
Taking all the time off. I mean, it's an emotional pick, but is it a smart pick?
Well, that's the question. I mean, obviously nobody doubts Darren's heart in terms of his ability to compete, but he is coming off of a layoff. I think the possibility is there. It is. I think it is an emotional pick, personally. I think
it could be something that really unites the European team as well. I mean, they could rally to his cause. He may not play the best, but he's only one out of 12, so the other players may step it up a notch to win one for Heather or something.
Yeah, maybe all the energy they need.
It may be. They're going to come into this Ryder Cup as favorites. Of course, I think that's an American press invention so that we can have the underdog mentality as much as anything. Because on paper, right. I still think the American team may still be favorites if you look at international wins and things like that. But, whatever. We'll let them pretend we're the underdogs.
Right.
We'll certainly be an interesting Ryder Cup coming up in about 2 weeks. So we'll look forward to that and have a preview and some predictions next week. Of course, Tiger Woods will be the leading man on the U.S. team. We didn't do a podcast last week because last Monday was Labor Day. We were too busy not working at all.
We rested from our work.
We rested from our labors. Tiger Woods labored to a fifth consecutive PGA Tour win, winning the Deutsche Bank Championship in Boston, came back from down three on Vijay Singh, of all people, who shot a Saturday round of 61. Tiger Woods was 6-under in the first seven holes, including two eagles, to take a three-shot lead on Vijay Singh, and after that, it never really got close.
And bam, it was done. It was pretty much over. He just sort of took the driver's seat, as he always seems to do, and that was it. I mean, one of the interesting statistics for me was that Tiger has now owned seven titles in 14 tournaments this year for a batting average of 500.
We thought that was pretty amazing when Annika Sörenstam did it a couple of years ago, winning 10 out of 20 events, I believe.
Yep.
Tiger, 7 of 14, is right there as well. He's only got a couple events left. Of course, he's playing in the HSBC match play this week before the Ryder Cup begins next week. So he personally has said that he counts that as, continuing his winning streak or not, even though it's not a PGA Tour event, so the press will probably give him a pass if he doesn't actually win it on continuing a streak. He's, of course, got the Ryder Cup. He's, of course, got the Tour Championship. And there's some speculation that he may play the Disney Classic, but I doubt it. So certainly looking to extend the streak, of course, at the HSBC and possibly the Tour Championship and another PGA Tour event maybe later this year. But five is pretty incredible all in itself. I think he was, something like 90-some under par in those five tournaments. He'd won.
Wow.
If you look at, he'd still be the leading money winner on tour if you took only those five tournaments.
Yep.
It just blows you away. He's won five of his seven, of course, in the past month and a half. So played three consecutive weeks, at the PGA Championship, then at the Bridgestone, and then at the Deutsche Bank, which is a tournament he'd love to have won many times before because it benefits his Tiger Woods Learning Center. Really pulls it off for the first time this time at the TPC of Boston. So we've run out of things to say positive about Tiger Woods other than wow, and he won again. We'll move on to someone who's not winning much. Michelle Wee finished dead last in Switzerland. Untrue to their nature, the Swiss had plenty of bad things to say.
Right.
But it was the Associated Press, really.
Right.
Finishing dead last, rounds of 77 to 79, I believe, or 78-79, to finish dead last. She was 5-over on the par 3s the first day. Just really had no clue what was going on, basically. Just one of her worst weeks.
Well, and she's got a pretty positive attitude about the whole thing. She says, it makes me want to come back and show that I'm a better player than this. So she knows how to spin it in a positive way. You said the Swiss didn't like her much. Northern Ireland's Graham McDowell said, this is not a golf course that I would have said she could play. She had no chance around here. So, she's not getting a whole lot of love from her playing partners, apparently.
Yeah, he didn't say why, though. I mean, there was talk that, in the altitude that she would be okay because she'd hit the ball a little further, things like that. So I'd like to see why Graham McDowell thinks that's not a course for her. Maybe because it's longer than 6,500 yards. I don't know. Not a good week for Michelle Wee. Ball striking, putting, just everything was not there. It was AWOL. Of course, she'll be playing at the 84 Lumber Classic this week, where I would have been if my housing for the week had called back any time this week. Thanks, John. It rained all day today, so I'm not really missing it too much. But, of course, Jim Furyk played in the Canadian Open. See, you have to call them Canada Geese, and yet it's the Canadian Open, so I don't quite get that. But anyway, Jim Furyk, not a Canada Goose, won his 12th PGA Tour event, his second, I think, of the year, and a National Open, of course, of Canada. So
yeah, well, he certainly didn't drop a goose egg on the last round, best round of the day.
One.
Yeah, that was, I think I'm getting better at these holes.
We'll give you a birdie for
this
that.
Thing here.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
But,
you know, 5 under 65.
Yep, he came back from back, I think he was in fifth or something, starting the day. So edged Bart Bryant, and a few other guys had a chance to win the tournament towards the end, but didn't manage to. The only Canadian most people can name on the PGA Tour, Mike Weir, missed the cut. The little punk. He was on my fantasy team. Didn't do anything.
Yeah, let's not even talk about our fantasy league this time.
Yeah. Boy. Sean O'Hare shot a 68 to finish third at 12 under. And then, of course, Jonathan Bird, the story there was that he was penalized 2 strokes for a rules infraction. He wasn't terribly close to the lead, but he was penalized 2 strokes for testing the condition of a bunker by taking a practice stroke, then stepping a foot or two closer to his ball to actually play it. So an interesting little discussion there. Cody wrote about that this week in his Thrash Talk column, if you'd like to read that. And, of course, Justin Rose, who has never won on the PGA Tour, but entered the final round as the leader, fell back with a 74 to finish in a tie for 14th. So not a great finish for Justin Rose, who's still seeking his first PGA Tour win.
Yeah, I really enjoyed seeing him towards the top of the leaderboard, but it's unfortunate that he didn't close it out.
And it's good to see Furyk winning now, because with the Ryder Cup coming up in 2 weeks, Tiger Woods is clearly on form. Jim Furyk is on form. Phil Mickelson may actually be the biggest disappointment this upcoming Ryder Cup if he doesn't get his game back in shape, because he's been playing miserably since the U.S. Open. Whether or not there's still some lingering problems from the U.S. Open, mental or otherwise, or what, Phil really has not played well, so interesting to see that. Of course, Chris DeMarco hasn't played terribly well since the British Open, and it's not looking so good.
No.
Tiger and Jim, they should be fine. The rest of the team, I don't know. I'll have to get some surprises out of the rookies. But
that's
again,
right.
Congrats to Jim for winning his 12th PGA Tour event. We'll be right back after this message from Titleist. Stay with us.
For a crisper long iron, grip up on it about an inch.
Be real aggressive through impact.
Keep it short and aggressive.
Maintain your balance.
Take one more club and swing it smooth.
Think happy thoughts.
For a soft draw, close your stance and make sure you release the club.
I'm going to line my feet to the right a little bit, hook the club face, then grip the club.
You can learn a lot from the world's best players.
And one more tip, trust your tightness.
Oh, that's got to be it, guys. Come on, that's a perfect shot.
Welcome back. In our forum topic this week, we're talking about Sergio Garcia.
The banana man.
The ever-present Raffy brings up in our forum that Garcia can't shut up. So Banana Man is mouthing off about none other than Michelle Wee.
Weaker.
So I think, you know, personally, I think she's saying what everyone is thinking. It's getting to the point now where I think Michelle Wee is going to have to prove herself. But apparently forum member Raffy and often guest of the podcast says that Garcia pisses him off.
Well, and this is one of the times where I kind of joked in the thread, too, that when did Sergio Garcia become Mark Hensby? But he's really not saying anything terribly out of line. He's saying it's unlikely that a woman will win. He's saying her ball flight's too low to play consistently on the PGA Tour. He's saying, never say never, but it's a big chance it won't happen. He's saying, I don't see them as female players, I see them as golfers. So he's not really saying anything negative. He's not saying she sucks and she shouldn't be out here. He says, I don't quite understand what she's doing. I don't think women have a great chance to win.
Yeah, no, what he said was really benign. I mean, obviously I read the article, and I didn't think anything he said about Wee was particularly like inflammatory, but I think what it what it brings into focus is how ultra sensitive Raffy is.
That's true. Ultra sensitive. He's like a woman in a man's beer bellied body.
Oh, gosh.
We kid.
We're just scoring points.
We kid because we love. And because we will destroy you at the Newport Cup, Raffy.
Yep.
But the one thing that stuck out to me is that, you know, I was as likely to say a woman would never win on the PGA Tour, you know, never say never, but not for any reasonable amount of time, say 20 years or whatever. But then it hit me that Corey Pavin won on the PGA Tour this year. So, I mean, if Corey Pavin can win, there's a chance. It's not a big chance that someone like Michelle Wee herself could win on the PGA Tour, but there's a chance. Because
there's an outside chance, but let's keep in mind who Corey Pavin is. I mean, this guy's won a lot of tournaments. He's a major championship winner. And so, yeah, it's still a different league. In my
it
book.
Is. Yep, it is. So, Banana Man can't shut up, according to Raffy, and that's where we'll leave it. We'll be right back again after this ad from Titleist with our Beating Balls segment.
When you get in a fairway bunker, choke up on the club a little bit, and I like to aim for the top of the ball.
On long bunker shots, flatten your swing.
You want to feel down in the sand and then use your instincts.
When you get a plug lie, all you want to do is take a steeper swing and explode down on the ball.
If you want to hit a punch shot, play the ball back in your stance.
When you're in the rough, you're going to want to hit a cut.
One more tip. Trust your Titleist.
You can learn a lot from the world's best players.
Welcome back to our Beating Balls segment. First up, Christy Kerr outdueled Annika Sorenstam in the final round of the Hammonds Classic to win one of her first events with Annika Sorenstam in the field. I think it's actually her second event. Her first one came earlier this year, but up until this year, she hadn't yet won an event in which Annika Sorenstam played. So
yeah.
Congratulations to Christy Kerr.
Yeah, one really of her aspirations was to go against Sorenstam, and she sure got that opportunity, you know, rallying from two shots behind to beat her. So her wish came true awful quick.
And of course, Christy Kerr helped by a marvelous Saturday round of 61. It was a three-round event, so it was the second round of the tournament, but she shot 61 on the second day of
following Sorenstam's 63 course record. I believe it was Kerr that set the record again a day later. So
right, and the week prior to that, Sorenstam shot a 62, tying the LPGA Tour record for the lowest final round score by a tournament winner to edge Christy Kerr. So kind of a little bit of sweet revenge a week later, and certainly congratulations to Christy Kerr, potentially America's best female golfer. Yes, no?
It was impressive. You know, I saw that she had shot 61, and you look at this girl, she's, you know, really cute lady, and you think 61 out of her? What?
America's best female golfer or no? Don't weasel out of that point.
That's still up for conjecture. I just wanted to say how hot she was. I wasn't trying to weasel out of that.
Okay, well, if you weasel out of anything else, I'm sending a portion of that to your wife, so... And then we get news in our next story here that the Banana Man is dating a sharkling. Sergio Garcia is dating Greg Norman's daughter.
Yeah, he's busting the moves on Morgan Lay, Norman's daughter, so hopefully he's behaving himself so the shark doesn't, like, bite him or something.
There's too easy a joke there with her name being Morgan Lay.
Oh, dear.
So I'm just going to let it go.
You're just going to let that one slide past?
I'm going to let that one slide past. I think that Sergio Garcia has quite a reputation as a ladies' man, so I hope that he is very careful with this one.
Yeah, he might catch a one iron in the eye or something like that.
Or he may be the banana peel man very shortly.
Exactly.
Lee Trevino says they've dropped the ball when talking about the golf ball. He's basically said that the modern golf ball goes too far, goes straight, yada, yada, yada. The same kind of stuff that a lot of former PGA Tour players, Jack Nicklaus, of course, springs to mind as the leader of that group, say about the modern golf ball. Of course, none of them seem to recognize that the golf ball they used was better than the one Hogan had, and of course, that one better than the one Bobby Jones had. Is this just an aging veteran, or does he have merit?
Well, I think this guy is, he's a seasoned pro. I mean, man, Trevino's a legend. So, you know, he's comparing today's golf against, you know, the golf that he played. His exact words were, the golf ball has ruined the game. Well, you know, it's not the golf ball that's ruined the game. It's a whole lot of things that we've talked about ad nauseum here at the Sand Trap.
Large driver heads, player conditioning, course conditioning, different mentality. Fitness.
Yeah, well, these are athletes of a different caliber today. I mean, you know, a lot of these guys are fit, and you can't go out, as Trevino said, you know, you can't go out with a homemade swing and just plan on hitting the ball to the best of your ability. You know, you've got to be an athlete out there. So, no, it's not just the ball. It's unreasonable for him to say that. Does the issue need addressed? Well, perhaps it does, but there's a whole lot more things going on than just a golf ball.
Right, and I find it telling that the best player in the world currently is also the best player hitting a lot of shots. They say shot making is dead, and yet Tiger Woods week in and week out plays shots. He'll play an 8-iron from 127 yards. He'll hit a low cut with his pitching wedge. He'll shape his ball with his 5-wood, you know, a high cut, a low draw, a stinger. He has more shots in his bag than any other PGA Tour pro. And well, because he can play them, that's part of why he wins.
And how many times do you hear in a post-round interview, Tiger says, "I really control my ball flight well."
Right.
And he loves that. That's his thing. PGA. Never mind.
This is what happens. PGA, yeah. Sorry, you just bogeyed a hole, Jeff. You're on there.
Yeah, I did. No.
You need to,
back to even.
You need the eagle here. Michelle Wee wants to play in the Ryder Cup team someday.
Ugh. I'm sorry.
She was led into this. I mean, let's be honest here. We could make this a big story and be like, oh my God, dumb teenagers talking again. But when a guy goes, "So, Jeff, would you like to someday be really, really good at what you do?" The answer is not, "Nah, I'm content being mediocre." The answer is not, "I don't know if that's in the cards for me." The answer is, hopefully I'll be able to play, but that'd be awesome. Maybe it's possible. And that's about what she said.
Right.
But she was asked the question, so still kind of maybe a stupid answer. Maybe she should have said, "That's a ways out there, and, you know, when I actually achieve some of my first goals, maybe I'll start to think about it. But for now, it's kind of too far out there for me to think about." That may have been the best answer.
Yeah, that would have been the best answer. I mean, when you put it in context like that, yeah, it makes a lot more sense. But I'm telling you, man, that was one of those slap my forehead, what is this girl thinking kind of moments for me.
We keep talking about this girl and her lack of PR skills, and yet she has a PR firm working for her. What are they doing?
Well, the PR firm doesn't have a direct link to her lips. I mean, they can't stop her lips flapping. I mean, people are going to ask her questions and she's going to talk, you know. And
can't she get an earpiece and they can tell her what to say or something?
Right.
I mean,
don't say anything.
Is that $10 million she got laced with crack and they're all snorting it or what? I don't understand what they're doing.
I don't think it's necessarily their, well, I mean, some of this is their fault, but I mean, in this case, she's answering a question, as you pointed out, and she's just saying what pops into her head.
Train the girl.
Well, it's absurd to think. I mean, I just thought it was an absurd statement. Playing the Ryder Cup, I mean, come on, you know.
Win something.
Yeah. I mean, and listen, this is not taking anything away from her talent.
No, she hasn't made a cut yet. And she's talking about being one of the 10 best American golfers, period. That's just, it's a little too pie in the sky for me there. And she ended up with a cream pile over her face. Damn, I said I was going to keep it PG.
That's a bogey right there, buddy.
You know, when people, like Bill Gates got pied in the face. But anyway,
that's right.
That's what I meant. What are you, you're the one with the dirty mind, you pastor.
I wasn't thinking dirty.
Yeah, okay. Well, here's, we have a link to in our show notes to another bit on Garcia's comments on Michelle Wee, so we'll link to that, but we've already talked about it, so we'll move on right past that. And we'll move into Tiger Woods getting involved in golf course design. During the TPC of Boston at the Deutsche Bank, he told Brad Faxon, and basically told the press, that he has some input and he'll be sharing them with Brad Faxon and the designers, and if they choose to take it, great. If not, oh well. But Tiger's also said that now he's clarified that he expects to get into the course design business in the next year or two, when previously he'd only said eventually, or 3 or 4 or 5 years. So Tiger Woods likes to say that he likes courses that are right in front of you. Whether or not, you know, I'm not sure whether that means he likes to win on courses like that, or whether he actually likes to play them as a golfer. So what kind of course do you think Tiger Woods would design?
Well, one of the comments surrounding Tiger's involvement in this, the TPC of Boston's course design, is that there's a possibility of actually shortening the course. And, you know, I think that's a pretty neat development. I think it brings some other golfers into play. I mean, we look at Augusta National and the fact that they've lengthened the course because Tiger was hitting it so far. Well, of course, that's just playing into his hands.
Right.
So I think that he's going to design a very fair golf course. I think you're going to see some pretty classic designs out of Tiger. I mean, he, you know, man, the guy's a genius, you know, but he really draws on the tradition of the game, and I think he's going to take his tips from some of golf's you know, most celebrated courses.
Right, and I think, unlike Jack Nicklaus, who set every course up to play a high fade, especially his first 10 years designing courses, and that was something he was criticized for, basically designing courses that he could play, I think Tiger Woods can shape his ball in so many different ways that he knows that hitting a cut off a draw lie is something that's very hard for everyone to do. So he may work some of those kinds of things, and he understands that maybe a diagonal hazard is, you know, a Tillinghast kind of thing, is difficult for all levels of golfer, and yet fair at the same time, if so long as you know your abilities. Mm-hmm. So I really look for someone like Tiger, who enjoys playing different kinds of shots around the golf course, to design something that rewards creativity, not just bomb and gouge or whatever you want to call it. So
yeah,
it'd be interesting to see what happened.
Well, in the avenue of the absurd, we have a link here to a story about a 73-degree wedge put out by Feel Golf, and I thought a couple of things. Number one, when you're swinging it, wear a cup. And number two, make sure you tell your partners to watch out for bladed shots across the green.
73 degrees. I think a full swing of that would get me, what, 30 yards? You know, my 60-degree wedge goes 75 yards. I don't hit it full out because all that does is make it go higher. But 73 degrees, I mean, yeah.
I think a 73-degree wedge would get me about a foot or two underground.
You need a cup and a face mask.
Something like that.
Don't weight shift forward because you'll hit the brim of your cap on the way through.
Well, you know, you may click on this link to go check this story out, and they advocate taking a full driver swing on every shot, and the 73 eliminates that little half swing that causes problems. I can't imagine taking a full swing with a 73-degree wedge, but hey, that's
especially
just me.
Especially with a high spin ball.
Uh-huh.
You're like, well, it's...
It's
5 yards to the pin, so I'm going to throw this 25 yards back there and let it suck back 60 feet.
Yeah. Gone are the days of the bump and run.
Right. Just lob it past and then suck it back. Who cares if it's rough? It'll come back. It's got enough spin, believe me. We may be headed that way. Who knows? Patty Berg, unfortunately, here in our last note, founder of the LPGA Tour, winner of 60 titles, 15 major titles, one of the 13 founding members of the LPGA Tour, died on Sunday at Hope Hospice in Fort Myers, Florida, from complications from Alzheimer's disease. Patty Berg was 88 and will be sorely missed by members of the LPGA Tour and fans of golf everywhere. Sadly, the game of golf loses one of its standout members.
One of the pioneers.
That about does it for episode 36 of the Golf Talk Podcast. I think we'll let you slide on this one, Jeff. Maybe a couple other players bogeyed coming in, so you make the cut and stick around.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for joining us.
Like there was any doubt, man. All right, we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.